Chapter 23. Waiting. Whap. Always. Whap. Fucking. Whap. Waiting.
Alex Person is angry?
Prosper beamed into my agitated thoughts, with no warning, and caused me to jump.
Gah!
I said, and looked down at what I was doing with my hands. Apparently, I'd been trying to tie Prosper's tack, and I was whipping the strap around a little too forcefully as I secured it to the harness. Sorry, buddy, I wasn't paying attention. And I guess I was broadcasting a little too loudly, huh? The proud canterfly whistled and turned his head up and away.
Oh, come on, don't be like that, man, I groaned,
and tried to brush his flank with a stiff bristled brush, but he sidestepped away.
Hee-haw!
He snorted.
What happened?
Zoe asked, as she came in with a small basket that smelled exactly like Arvid's hearty stew.
I'm barely gone, and I come back to you two squabbling.
Who says we're squabbling?
Hey!
Prosper danced away again when I tried to approach him.
What's with you?
Why are you talking to him like that?
Zoe asked, but not in an accusing way, and I glanced at her curious expression. Like what? I asked. I always talk to him this way.
Well, not anymore, right?
She ventured. What do you mean? I asked, as I tried to grab Prosper's bit, but the difficult ass turned around in his stall and nearly knocked me over with his rear end. I sighed and pinched the bridge of my nose.
It's just something Amaya mentioned,
Zoe said with an amused chuckle in her voice that she failed to restrain, and I mock-glared at her.
She just said something about how you and Prosper have strengthened your bond and can now communicate spirit to spirit. I just wondered why you have now reverted back to communicating with him out loud.
Oh, I realized. I didn't know I was using poor etiquette. Sorry, buddy, I'm still new at this, and my mind is all over the place.
Why we wait, Alex Person?
Prosper turned around like all was forgiven, and it hit me that he was just as anxious to go get Shay, basically his handler mommy, back from Vane like I was.
Prosper is ready to fight now!
We have to wait because... I stopped and started again. We need to give our reinforcements a head start by at least an hour. Hand length? Whatever.
Forcements?
The butterfly Pegasus cocked his head, and his wavy antenna perked just like the ears of a German shepherd. Yeah, like Mech and Redburn and Ambassador Siskern. They need time to rally the troops. I huffed as the impatience I felt rebounded off the bond with Prosper, and we both spent a moment in a feedback loop of impotent rage.
We don't need forcements!
That's what I wanted to say, I scoffed mentally.
No need troops! We fight fearsome enough for 10 persons!
Damn straight!
Alex,
Zoe said, and snapped me out of my compounding frustration when she caressed my jaw and tried to smooth the deep frown on my brow. I know, I sighed, as I patted Prosper to get him to settle. It really is the best course of action to wait for Mel and Bowden to get back with word from our friends. But it's hard to just sit here and twiddle my thumbs.
You'll not convince me, you flying off by yourself without even Horace and Victory by your side as your second is a smart idea.
Zoe chuckled and took the brush out of my hands and replaced it with the basket.
Especially since Jenner seems to think Vane was constantly expanding something he called his minion army.
Has Jenner discovered anything else from the archive stones? I asked.
Not yet.
She shrugged.
Dovish recorded a lot of Vane's notes, which apparently became more obsessive and indecipherable the deeper he delved into the dark magics. The good news is, he's pretty sure the Council will be on your side, even if you stray from the parameters of the duelist rite.
You mean they won't throw me in prison if I kill the fucker on sight without even waiting for him to accept the challenge? I growled sarcastically. How nice of them.
I know,
she said with an exasperated roll of her eyes. I still feel like this is taking too long, I complained, and cracked my neck back and forth to dispel some of my pent-up energy.
Not too much longer now,
my catwife soothed.
It is only until the sun is one hand and 3 finger lengths from the horizon.
You still have to explain to me how you tell time with the sun like that, I said.
I will teach you.
she promised, as she rummaged in the basket, produced one of those purple carrot-like ash roots, and offered it to Prosper, who basically inhaled it like a pig.
Mmm, much appreciate, Frilly Zoe. Shroots is Prosper's favorite.
The goodest boy beamed through the bond, and it made me laugh out loud. He says thank you, and that these are his favorite, as if that wasn't obvious, I snorted.
Of course I know they're his favorite,
she cooed as she scrubbed his flank with both hands and then turned to me.
Come, we have done what we can for now. Let us build up our energy before we face battle.
Her eyes smoldered into mine in that old familiar way, and I instantly read between the lines and knew what build up our energy really meant. Goddess, how did she always know just what I needed? If I couldn't slake my urge to destroy Gellivane right this second, then a quick roll in the hay was just what the doctor ordered. Literally, as Zoe beckoned me toward the ladder to the hayloft of the barn.
Mr. Alex!
Jenner's voice piped up from behind me, and I hung my head with a sigh.
I'll take this,
my catwife purred as she took our packaged supper from me.
Don't keep me waiting too long, husband.
I won't, I vowed, as she disappeared up the ladder. And then I turned to face my trusty koala butler. Tell me something useful, Mr. Jenner. Can we leave yet?
The brothers still have not returned with our allies' confirmation yet, he said. But I believe I have uncovered more about Vane's plan based on the erratic journal entries he had a habit of keeping before the insanity took over.
Tell me, I said intently, as I felt the grasping need for as much information I could glean in the hopes it would help.
He talks a lot about replacing the waters from his own fountain with the ocean Mercedes,
the koala man said, as he slipped into his infamous lecture mode. Isn't that hella against the rules? I arched my eyebrows.
Oh, very much so, Jenner said, with a little rock up on his feet. To tamper with the sacred Ocean of Tears is all kinds of sacrilege.
Ocean of Tears, I mused, as I recalled some of my Aventolian history. Zoe told me the ocean was formed when the goddess wept so much for her people it created the seas. And the incarnate can heal with her tears, right? Don't tell me that's just a big fat coincidence.
You are definitely on the right track to the same conclusion I was, Jenner said with a proud grin. Now, because the legends of the incarnate have become romanticized through the ages, there is not enough information to prove it. But Geller was convinced the incarnate was the manifestation of the goddess herself coming down among us. He believed if he could harvest some of the ocean, this would be enough to get whomever he thought was the incarnate to manifest her powers.
Hang on, you make it sound like he's tried this before, Shay, I said.
Indeed,
Jenner scowled, as his eyes flickered back and forth in that teleprompter way when he was reading off his photographic memory.
There were at least two other fledglings he attempted this on before he got to Miss Shay. To summarize, with each failed experiment, he adapted his theory. The last coherent outline of his plan includes contaminating the great tithe pool in the Sun Temple during a red moon, having his own fountains blessed by a deaconess, and then lure you and Shay there during the ceremony.
It worked, I remarked. We were all there in that very water, but nothing happened, so what gives?
Maybe it was another failed test,
Jenner offered. No, I said, as I cast my mind back to the day of the ceremony and of the weird interaction I had with the man. I mean, yes, I think he was testing for something, and it both succeeded and failed at the same time.
What do you mean?
He questioned, and leaned forward as if willing his oversized ears not to miss a single thing. After the ceremony, Gella came up to Shay and me, as she was showing me how the waters healed the cut on her finger. My mind raced ahead 1,000 miles an hour as I recalled that unsettling tete-a-tete with the owl man. He grabbed her hand and called her healed wound interesting. He then invited us to stay for additional hospitalities or something, but Mech interrupted for me and told him we had business.
Then the tithe pool did work. So that must mean the only reason he kidnapped Shay now was to actually lure you into the duel because you slipped away the first time,
Jenner said. What do you mean? I asked.
He's not completely delusional like we first thought,
the koala man surmised.
He knows Shay can only summon the healing waters when you are there. I always wondered how you managed to escape the ceremony with minimal wounds. Normally, ashes have a hard time walking or wearing their boots after wearing the shackles for so long, but you carried on like it never even bothered you.
Yeah, that's because she healed me without noticing. And I thought it was just an Aventol thing, so I never brought it up, I said. I brushed it off. But something about Vane immediately struck me as creepy then, and now it just makes so much sense in a sickening way.
The good news is your instincts were correct, that Vane will be waiting for you to make the next move, and this illumination confirms it, he concluded.
Ugh, that only makes me want to leave even more, I said through gritted teeth.
I know, lad, Jenner sighed. Take heart, he will wait for you to come to him before he enacts the rest of his plan, whatever they may be. You will have no problem holding him off just enough until the cavalry shows up to make him pay.
I'm not waiting a second longer than I have to, Mr. Jenner, I warned. I've put this action off long enough, and I've made up my mind that after I confer with Zoe one last time, I'm leaving no matter what. The brothers have until then, and victory or not, Horace will just have to catch up to me later.
I understand, Mr. Alex, and I will not try to sway you otherwise, he said. Go, be with your wife. I'll make sure folks stay clear of the barn for a while.
Thank you, I said. Jenner nodded, patted my knee, and then bustled out of the barn in order to see to other preparations. I sighed and tangled my hands in my hair as I tried to get a grip on myself. Sure, I knew more about what the psycho was up to, but it didn't make me feel any better. In fact, it just made me feel like a rocket stuck on its launch pad as it tore itself to smithereens.
My love.
Zoe's hands came up to grip my wrists and gently untangled my fingers from their abuse of my scalp. I opened my eyes and wondered when it was that I closed them, or when it was that she came down from the loft. Help me forget, I pleaded, as I stared into her sapphire eyes. Just for a little while, please. Instead of saying anything, my beautiful catwife kissed me on my lips. The sensation was like the first gasp of air after drowning, and I felt her affection soak into me like the desert after a long-awaited storm. Baby, I breathed, when we broke for air, and she tangled her hands in my hair.
It's getting longer,
she purred, and her sapphire eyes dilated with arousal.
I like it.
Oh, well. Okay, if you let... My words were swallowed as my passionate catwife devoured my mouth in another kiss, and I clutched her hips as she began to gyrate slowly against me. My blood zinged through my veins like champagne, and I already felt drunk off her. Her taste was as sweet as it was tart, like ripened raspberries, and she added a sharp little nip to my lower lip here and there that sent tingles down my spine. It felt like fireworks on the 4th of July. She pushed on my chest until I got the hint and let her push me to the storage area in the back corner of the barn. What are you... Oof! I grunted as my knees hit the back of something lumpy, and I landed on a pallet of what appeared to be flour sacks. Then I gasped when she nibbled at the pulse point under my jaw and down to my clavicle.
Hello,
she purred and crawled over me to straddle my waist. Hi, I whispered, and then frowned when I examined the cut on her cheek that curved down from the outer corner of her eye like a teardrop. I'm glad you're okay, by the way. I'm sorry I haven't...
Shh! None of that,
Zoe murmured, and she kissed and licked her way into my mouth as her hands found my belt and tugged the obstacle free.
Don't think. Just feel.
My heart rate skyrocketed when her nimble fingers unlaced the front of my pants. So I decided to up the ante by sitting up and practically tearing off the armored skirt she was so fond of. Her hands then reached for my tunic, and I let her strip it off me while I whisked off her simple black shirt as well. Goddess, you're so beautiful, kitten, I murmured, and admired the way her milky skin glistened in the late golden light streaming in through the barn's rafters. Everything about her made my breath catch, from her stark ebony hair to her rose-colored nipples, and even down to the way she sat so demurely in my lap. All of it reminded me of a Van Gogh painting because it was like I was seeing the ordinary world bursting with wonder when I looked at her. Her eyes held the universe, and I pushed everything out of my head that wasn't those eyes, that face, or her toned waist between my rough palms. My hands were like grasping beggars as I molded them up her supple body like I was a sculptor molding clay, and I was close enough to admire the subtle goosebumps that erupted after every caress. She gasped when I finally focused my massaging on her beautiful breasts. I hummed in encouragement and brushed the calloused pads of my thumbs over her peaking nipples. Each broad stroke had her flinching and juddering with sensation, and I watched how she unabashedly felt every spark of pleasure with abandon. Zoe came alive under my touch in the way she bit her plush lower lip, threw her head back, and circled her hips against my groin. Her shivery breaths came out in pretty pants, and her hands traveled sensually up her own body, like she was now comfortable with making her body feel good just as much as I was. We really did fit together like two halves of a whole, and we read each other without needing words.
"Yes, my love,"
she rumbled in her sultry voice like warm drops of honey. She swirled her hips faster, and I groaned when the friction rubbed me just right and flexed my hips upward as that lovely molten arousal pooled in my lower belly. When I couldn't take it anymore, I finally switched our positions and took care to cradle Zoe's head as I flipped us faster than she had time to prepare for.
Alex!
She gasped, and I immediately pulled her skin-tight pants down just enough for me to reach my prize. "Suck," I ordered, as I offered her three of my fingers. Her eyes blew so wide, they looked black under the dim light, and her tongue came out to curl around the pads of my fingers. After I felt they were wet enough, I removed them from her hot mouth and drifted my hand between her long legs. She squirmed when I breached the moist folds of her pussy lips with my questing fingers. "That's it, kitten," I murmured, as I placed sucking kisses on the tops of her luscious breasts right before sucking one of those succulent rosebuds into my mouth.
"Oh, Alex,"
the catwoman moaned. Her thighs trembled when I circled around that hard little nub, and I was surprised when it only took a few rubs before she was coming. "God, you're gorgeous," I commented, as I eased her through the aftershocks with minute movements of my hand, until the catwoman gripped my wrist due to oversensitivity.
"Oh, husband, I need you,"
she whined and pawed at my waistband again. "Yes, baby, hold on," I said, and pulled my throbbing cock out of my pants. Zoe arched her hips and went to take her pants the rest of the way off, but I stopped her with my hand on hers. Then I wiggled the offending garment down a little more until it was around her knees, pushed her legs up so I could sink inside the shell of her pussy, and then gently twisted both of her legs to the side. The squeeze around my shaft was incredible, and we both hissed when I attempted to draw myself out just before shoving myself back in.
"Oh!"
Zoe yelped, as one of her hands flew up to clutch at her dark hair.
"Alex, you feel so big. Oh, oh, please, move. Take your pleasure from me."
"Oh, fuck, Zoe," I groaned as I slowly thrust in and out of her crazy tight channel. "You feel incredible like this."
"I can feel everything,"
she hissed and clawed at where my hand was supporting her legs so she could urge me on.
"Faster, Alex. Please give me your passion. Oh, goddess."
In this position, I could only go so fast, but I tried to comply as best as I could. Each drag set my nerves on fire, and I swore I saw the goddess every time her tight inner muscles flexed around my hard cock. The intensity of our lovemaking had me on a hair trigger, but I was determined to make my wife come one more time before I allowed myself to let my foot off the gas. "Zoe," I ground out and pushed up harder. She yelped again, and I knew I had found that spot inside her that made her wild with pleasure, so I tried to hit it again and again until she was finally mewling and coming around my cock like a masterpiece. "Fuck!" I said, as my climax wrung out of me long and slow, and I moved my hips to prolong the feeling as best as I could.
"Yes, husband, pour your seed inside me."
Zoe growled and bucked through the last waves of her second orgasm. Finally, things were too sensitive to move anymore, and I carefully slid out of my sated catwife so I could sidle up behind her. She sighed and undulated sensuously against me as I held her through the effervescent afterglow. My brain felt like Control-Alt-Delete had been hit, and the thoughts coming online felt organized and objectified with clean-cut rationale. I was sure things would work out all the way down to my toes. "I'm going to get her back, Zoe," I said. Zoe kissed my nose as I frowned down at my traitorous stomach for interrupting.
"I know you are my love,"
she said, and sat up so she could start putting on her clothing.
"But let me take care of you first. Come."
After we both set ourselves to rights and were finishing off a delicious semi-cold helping of Arvid's awesome stew, Zoe and I were finishing the remains of hot cocoa prepared by a familiar someone out of clay jars. "So Rylan made this for us, huh?" I commented, as I drained the last of my lumpy and a little sour attempt of Papa Sweet Cocoa. "He hasn't come by to say goodbye or even argue he be allowed to come along. Is he okay?"
"I think he knows you are going to tell him to stay behind,"
she said, and paused for a beat.
"Just like I'm curious as to when you are going to ask me the same."
I froze, but then exhaled a moment later. I'd be lying if I said it hadn't crossed my mind. But I'm pretty sure I wouldn't make it farther than the end of the road without you."
"Correct,"
she said, and rubbed her nose against mine. "Mr. Alex!" My eyes flashed to the west, where the much-welcomed sight of the white canterfly filly flashed in the twilight. The raccoon brothers waved at me, and the adrenaline thundered through my veins. Zoe and I bolted down to meet them in the front of the barn so Victory could take a much-deserved drink, while Mel tended to her tack and iron shoes so she would be ready to take off again. Bowden filled me in as it was suddenly all hands on deck to prep Zoe and me on Prosper, followed by Horace on Victory. But I was only halfway listening to the raccoon man due to how loud the pulse of vengeance was hammering in my ears. Apparently, Mech and Redburn were both on board, with rallying as many Ashers who were willing to rise up against Gatetown's corrupt magistrate, and they promised to bring forces in droves. Also, there had been no word from Ambassador Siskern after the tithing ceremony, and that was just another worrying thing I just had to shove to the back of my brain for now.
"Take care, Mr. Alex," Jenner said, with a fist over his heart.
"We're right behind you, boss,"
Mel said in his gruff voice, and thumped his fist over his breastbone as well. Bowden and even Velralla nodded solemnly, and I made sure to make eye contact with each of them. "Ready?" I asked my second.
"If Doc takes me," Horace growled. "Let's do this."
"And as long as you don't mind, I would also like to accompany you."
Amaya's pan-flute voice floated from my left where the Oryx woman had just come from the forest, bordering the western side of Ithaca. She flipped the hood of her brown cloak up and smiled her sage yet dreamy smile.
"I'm afraid the explanation as to my presence is obscured even from my knowledge. I only feel as if I must go."
"Hop up," Horace said, and I felt like it was a good call to have her along as well. Then the four of us took to the violet skies on a tailwind, as if the goddess herself was urging us relentlessly onward. Time seemed to go both fast and slow at the same time, and my breathing quickened as my senses sharpened the closer we flew to Gatetown.
"Do you hear that?"
Horace shouted over the wind, just as the sun sank below the horizon. Before I could answer, a hellish shrieking rose above the lake as bloated winged creatures flapped toward us and slung their oozing sludge from their dripping mouth tentacles. Minions. The battle for Monger Estate had officially begun.